produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Okay, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. This is going to be part two of our session from the last time we met. If you all will recall, we had Pastor John Fitzpatrick and Lady Sydney Gaskins on, and we were just talking about the psychological and the spiritual effects of the coronavirus on us as a global community. And right before we left off, Lady Sydney was about to talk about the abuse that may occur during the quarantine. Lady Sydney, go ahead and just kind of recap and go back on the point you were making about the abuse that may occur.
So we were kind of talking about, what happens after, and I didn't want to skip over the opportunity to address that because there's many people who now, like, they're out for some kids. They're out is actually being at school, you know.
Okay.
They get away from the person who's abusing them for a while, or they are able to talk to a counselor or talk to their friend or some, you know, find somebody outside of the home, or that man or woman, because we don't want to skip over the fact that men are also abused. So they're gone to work usually, or their abuser is gone to work, and now they're at home, right? So what's happening in the home while we have this quarantine is an issue. So there's a lot of organizations that are trying to help. There's I know in my area, in Texas, North Texas, they are trying to get more food into some of the women's shelters. They're trying to get more more people who are able to go out and help those who may be abused. But after, when you think about it, if you have a child or an elder, let me not forget that there's elder abuse as well, right? So you have someone after this who now has the ability to maybe speak. Who's there to actually be able to support them? And again, if a child is able to get back to school, and not necessarily a little kid, right? This could be a middle schooler. It could be a teenager. Mm-hmm. Are they able to say to someone, and is that person trained to be able to discuss this with them and report as they need to, right, as a mandated reporter? So we have to be prepared for what have people been going through while they're in these homes, because there's financial issues in homes when you haven't worked for a while, right? The other part would also be like the stigma for people. Are we prepared to have the conversations, or what are we saying to each other about a person who has had coronavirus? How do they feel about themselves?
Oh,
and then you look at the stigma about around race, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talk about,
and
the Chinese food, quote unquote, right? So how are we having conversations with people that actually, kind of like John said, changing their mentality, not necessarily just about the opportunity of what's going on, being able to be home and meditate and help yourself to learn some ways to calm yourself and that type of thing, but also how am I looking at other people? How am I going to be able to engage with other people? How am I going to be able to help someone who may say something to me about what they went through during this time?
Then Pastor Fitzpatrick, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, yes, and that would be one of one concern that I was thinking about, too, as she mentioned. Remember years, both of y'all will remember about 20 years ago or so when people first started contracting the HIV and AIDS epidemic hit, and it was a big deal. So now when the people who have had coronavirus come back into the community after being in the hospital for, let's say, 2 weeks or 3 weeks, will they remain anonymous? Will some be willing to come forward and give testimonies of healing? And then as the church as a whole, and even as a community as a whole, she mentioned the stigma. So have you thought about that aspect as far as the church goes?
Yeah, a lot of us going to be dealing with healing, mentally and physically. And, people who come back, they have to have a safe place where they can come and talk. I mean, I think folks like Sydney, who does grief recovery, is really important. I think each church should have a grief recovery program connected with it or some partner with it some kind of way, because a lot of folks have to deal with grief recovery all the time. And there's leaders right now, even in churches today, who are leading and bleeding. And if you don't have grief recovery in place, then you have folk who are always going to lead and bleed. And it's okay as leaders sometimes to bleed, but it becomes a problem if you're leading and bleeding on the sheep. That's when it's a problem. And then you have to deal with what you are lost. We have losses in our life so many times, losses in our family members who passed away, loss of job, loss in relationships. There's a lot of things that come against us in life, and we just mask it sometimes behind religion and say, it is well. But on the inside, if you really don't feel that, then you're really just repressing some things in your life that eventually can come out in how you lead and how you teach and how you deal with people. So we're going to encourage folk, if you had it and you've been delivered from it and healed from it and you want to talk about it, we'll have folk in place to help you with that. Or folk who want to assist you as you now matriculate from your hibernation, if you will, and the fears you may have of being shunned, if people know you had it and folks still don't want to hug you because they know you had it. There have to be people in places and parameters in places to let them know that they're welcome, that they're going to be loved with proper, and wisdom can be shared to them. I think that goes a long way in helping them to be reintroduced into our society. And such to the people to receive them as well. It's their mindset. It's our mindset as well to receive them back. You can put all the parameters in place you want for the individual who's sort of quote unquote coming out, but then you got to also deal with the people who are already quote unquote out. Because you can fix the you can help the person who is may feel they may be ostracized, maybe judged or whatever. You can help give that person or direct that person to a place of self-importance and self-worth, whatever means you choose, whether it be through Christ or through meditation, whatever. You direct them to where you want them, where they need to be from their own words are telling you, so they can get to that place of wholeness. But that has not changed those who have to receive them, because they're still not received. Then they'll be okay because they're whole coming out. But it's a lot easier if those who are out here are more sensitive to their needs and receive them back. And if so, then it makes for a whole more complete society. If not, you still have divisions, which it happens all the time anyway. And we got to just pray for that. So I didn't mean to get that deep, but that's just my thing.
Got you.
Yeah, I'll piggyback on that because I think, what I heard you say is really the opportunity for people to be a place for grief recovery. And whether or not you're trained in it or not, being able to just allow a person to say that they were fearful, allow a person to say that they're really sad, allowing our teens and young adults who missed milestones, even our kids, they missed their friends, they missed their teachers, they missed playing on the playground, allowing them to say those things and be okay with them being sad. Oftentimes, the issue with grief recovery is not the person. It's that there's no place for them to say anything because other people aren't comfortable with it. So we get, oh, it's okay, you know, things happen, that kind of thing. But that doesn't change the fact that they're frustrated, they're upset, they're sad, they're missing, you know, something that is very important. So I think it is important to say, yeah, people need to be open to allowing people to come back and feel what they feel. And I think it's significant that you mentioned allowing leaders and pastors and faith leaders, leaders in our community, to be able to say that too, that they don't have to be strong all the time, that, listen, it's got to be frustrating. It can be overwhelming. You probably are fearful yourself, and be able to say those type of things without being ridiculed or having a stigma on them about not being a good leader. You know, good leaders don't show whatever. Sure they do. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, being fearful. There's nothing wrong with not feeling courageous, right? You know, I forget, someone had mentioned, you know, that being brave doesn't mean that there's an absence of fear at all. It means that you just act through the fear. It's okay to be fearful. It's okay to be sad. It's, you know, all of that kind of stuff. It's okay. And we need to let people feel those things and be okay with letting them feel it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So, Pastor Fitzpatrick, do you think there will some new ministries will come out of this virus, will derive from this, that will come out of this virus that will bless your parishioners and the community?
I believe as a whole, I'm not sure if we'll have a new one per se because, you know, an epidemic, a pandemic, or an attack is an attack. I think if we teach our folk on how to just, you know, learn how to fight against or combat against things that are against us, you know, we put our trust in Christ and just no matter what storm comes, you know, the word is still the same. So if we just really emphasize the importance of relying on God's word, using wisdom as the word leads us, as Holy Spirit leads us, then no matter what comes against you, you'll be fine. So I think we have to just reintegrate into the members and the fellowship the importance of knowing who you believe in. I mean, it's one thing to say you believe in somebody, but again, when the tests come, that's the true test of whether or not you allow your faith to operate or not. So teach folk how to operate, you know, in faith, how to operate according to the word of God, and just equip them for whatever storm comes their way to the best of your abilities. So I don't know if there'd be anything else, any new ministries per se coming out of it, but who knows what Lord has in store. I think could be new ministries around the world started, because you could have folk now who want to minister to survivors of corona, or families of those who lost loved ones through the corona. I mean, it could be they need to have ministry too. And I mean, one thing that we, and people get this in church all the time, you know, if they come and, you know, it's a drug dealer or whatever, and they speak into a minister of the church, they're going to say, listen, man, you here with a 10-piece suit on, and you here, you don't, you know, know me like that. You never had tasted drugs before, haven't been around anybody with drugs before. How are you going to tell me about how to deal with drugs? So, I mean, sometimes we have to have folk who have been delivered from corona who can encourage those people who have, who've made it through recovery of corona, or those who lost loved ones due to corona, then maybe you can have some people who minister to those who lost loved ones as well to encourage them no matter what. So I think new ministries can come forth in general, but I don't know if it will be at One Love per se. Who knows?
Okay. And Lady Sydney, do you see the landscape of what you're doing changing, or are you doing something different after the virus or this pandemic is over?
I think as a whole, in mental health, the conversations have been very much about things that are systemic, like what is up with insurance, right? Not covering telemental health. It's been a big scramble for many people to be able to switch to telemental health because some insurance doesn't cover that, right? And then you have people who have copays. Well, how can they pay a copay if they don't have a job, right? Being able to do that. And now I'm thinking about it, there may be a lot more advocacy from, I think, healthcare in general, For me personally, I've already been working on different segments, being able to work more with people who have PTSD and actually doing some trainings. I start one on Thursday, right, specifically to help people who have had trauma and PTSD, just another tool in my toolbox. So for me, it really is like honing those skills now. During this time, I get to kind of do a little more research and get a little more training, so that I can be most effective when people come calling and they need someone who can support them in those things. So that's really what I see for myself. I don't see myself moving into another lane, because I do believe you need to stay in your lane.
Okay. Stay in your lane.
Yes, I know what I do well. Like, I can lead you in meditation. I can do, you know, trauma work with you, you know, and specific trauma work, right? I know where my boundaries are. So I'm not going to go jump in someone else's lane at all. I know what I'm good at, and I'm just trying to add to those skills. I'm not going in anybody else's lane.
Well, that sounds really, really good. Pastor Fitzpatrick, do you have any parting words for us, sir?
I would simply say, let's all just pray, and let's all abide by the laws of the land the best we can. Let's all just, walk with wisdom, be encouraged, because this too will pass. I just encourage the people who are listening to always keep hope, you know, and know that we'll get through this. We always bounce back. And be encouraged, even in the midst of chaos. You know, Christ is there. His love is there. So I just encourage everybody to just grab hold of it. It's available for all of us. And if you ever want a word of prayer, you can connect with us at One Love Christian Church. We're right there online. You can message us. You can follow us on Facebook. We have services on Sundays at 10 a.m. online, and we have Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7:30 online, not only with our website, visitonelove.org, but also on Periscope, OLCC Durham. That's D-U-R-H-A-M. Connect with us. We'd love to pray with you, love to encourage you. Whatever we can do to help you out, we'll try to do our best we can. You're not
okay, fantastic. Lady Sydney, do you have any parting words?
Well, I would just say for everyone to reach in to someone that may be struggling with anxiety or depression or stress. And then for those people who may be dealing with depression, anxiety, and stress, and insomnia, those type of things, be willing to reach out as well. And I'm always an advocate for just breathing, right? Just noticing your breath and allowing yourself to be where you are and allow what's there. Always look for someplace. And I'm glad Pastor John talked about where he is, right? Look for the place where you can get that support, whether it's a mental health professional or it's your spiritual connection. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you reach out to those people.
Now, you mentioned to me earlier in a prior conversation about your 5-4-3-2-1. Can you share your 5-4-3-2-1 with us before we go?
Absolutely. So that is something that I do with clients a lot who are anxious, and I think this is a time when a lot of people are anxious. You can do it anywhere, because it's not one of those things that's quirky or weird. No one will ever know that you're doing it. So 5-4-3-2-1 is five, you're looking for five things that you see, four things that you can touch, three things that you hear, two things that you smell, and one can be one of two things, either one thing that you taste or being able to name one good thing about yourself, and it's all about being present. So you can't really do those things when you're thinking about something else. And I always encourage clients to breathe in between. So when you name your five things, you take a breath, and then you let it out. So I'll go over that really quick again. Five things that you see, four things that you can touch, three things that you hear, two things that you can smell, and one thing that you can taste, or name one thing that's good about yourself.
Well, that is fantastic. And if you all noticed, those are your five senses that she reviewed with us. So when we're feeling anxious or we're feeling overwhelmed, that's one thing that we can do. I shared with Pastor Fitzpatrick and with Lady Sydney that I felt anxious a couple of weeks ago going into Walmart. And it's like, wait a minute, I'm just going into Walmart to buy groceries. Why is my chest hurting like this? So I think also that I was actually feeling anxious and not realizing it until, like she said, I stepped back and stepped away from the situation. And I realized then, wait a minute, I'm feeling anxious about this. And one thing I would also like for, I would like to encourage all of us to do, and it's okay to pull back from the TV, turn the TV off, turn social media off. We're being bombarded by the media, whether it's television, radio, or the computer. We're just being bombarded and overwhelmed with so much information that can be negative in some aspects. So I just want to encourage and implore you all to turn your TVs off, turn the radios off, turn social media off, and just tune into yourself for a little while. Allow things to be quiet and peaceful. Read your scriptures, meditate. And as the old people used to say where I'm from, you need to just go somewhere and sit down. Just go somewhere and sit down. Be still. Be still. Get yourself together. Allow God to get you together. Write down some goals. Recall, and we're in our session, our season of re, and we said a couple of weeks ago that God was our resource. He's our source, and he keeps doing it over and over and over again. So he's going to provide for us, and we know that God is our protection. So go back, recollect in your mind what God has told you to do in the past. Maybe 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years ago, some of those things that you still have not accomplished that God has told you to do. So sit down, have a conversation with the Lord about what you need to do and how you need to proceed further. One thing we talked about is what does life look like 6, 8, 12 months out? So that would be a good opportunity for you to sit down and plan what you want your life to look like 6, 8, 10, 12 months out from today. And I know that if you sit with the Lord on a consistent basis and meditate and journal and finish your vision board that you should have finished at the end of 2019, if you
right.
just sit down and do those things. And as Pastor Fitzpatrick said, he's working on his honey-do list. So if we go back and just do those things that need to be done, we will all come out of this in a better place mentally, spiritually, financially, emotionally. We'll all be in a better place. And Pastor Fitzpatrick touched on two words that I really liked. He touched on faith and hope. And those are the two words that I want to close with this evening or today, this afternoon, wherever you are in the world. But I would love for us to just have a little more faith, a little more hope, and as he said, also a lot more love. So we're going to close with that this evening, and I'm going to pray us out. Heavenly Father, as we come to you once again, O Lord, we just thank you and appraise you, lift you up, glorify you, magnify your holy name for everything that you've done and everything that you're doing in our lives, O God. God, we ask that you anoint every the president, every leader of every country that is working to eradicate this disease, Lord. We are asking that you work with every mayor. Give them wisdom, the mayors, the governors, the senators, representatives, Lord God. And God, most importantly, touch those people that are on the front lines, the doctors and the nurses that are also battling this disease, and the researchers that are trying to combat this disease. Lord God, you created every single human being. Your word says you knit us in our mother's womb. Lord God, we just ask that you continue to bless, Lord God, heal, and deliver, Lord. We thank you in advance for all that you're going to do in our lives, Lord God. We ask that you continue to bless Josie and Josie's inspirations, and continue to touch Lady Kayla, Lord God, and how you have her doing your kingdom work here on earth. We ask that you just touch Pastor John Fitzpatrick as he proceeds, Lord God, and touch his congregation in a mighty way, Lord God, and not only his congregation, but churches all over the world, Lord God. Lord God, we ask that you just touch Sister Sydney as she goes forth as well, Lord God. Allow her to continue her research so that she may touch yet the minds of your people. Give her wisdom, Lord God, as she proceeds in everything and all of the tasks that you have given her to do. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We lift you up, and we magnify your holy name. And thank you so much, dear God, for allowing us to participate with Carla's Pearls of Wisdom. We thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, John. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Sydney. I really appreciate it.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.